It's hard to imagine agency busier during the Sandy episode than the Coast Guard. It even had to rescue people from a tall sailing ship which sank off North Carolina. Joining us for a review of the Coast Guard operations in the last few days is Lieutenant Commander Jamie Frederick. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So give us a status report right now. What is the Guard doing? I mean, the storm is not completely left, so what's going on at this moment?
That's correct, Tom. We have assets pre-positioned all along the eastern seaboard to better ensure that our ability to support search and rescue, rescue operations, and all their central maritime services immediately following, and in the case of the Northeast, still during the storm.
And are there any search and rescue operations going on right now?
Well, as you just mentioned, we continue to search for the captain of the Bounty. We searched all last night with a HC-144 out of our air station in Miami with negative results. We have a C-130 out there searching this morning. We have a Coast Guard cutter from North Carolina, the Cutter Elm, out there searching. And we expect our high-endurance cutter Gallatin to be on scene today, and we continue to search for that one missing mariner.
Wow. So how about the rest of the coast? I mean, were people generally off their boats and had everything moored and put away so that you didn't have too much of that?
Well, it seems that the most mariners were prudent and were off the water. We're taking a lot of reports now of folks that are stranded due to flooding. We have helicopters launching into New York City. Right now, we're taking approximately about 60 different reports of somewhere in the neighborhood of 100, 168 people stranded throughout New York City. So we're working very, very closely with the entire federal family, our state and local response family to make sure that we put our assets where they're needed and get out there and assist those folks that are in need of assistance.
Now, we heard yesterday a lot of reports of the Coast Guard looking out at sea, for example, for the Bounty and other types of ships. So is it fair to say that now you are helping more inland, like in New York City and perhaps other places where people weren't necessarily in boats and so forth but need your help?
It seems this morning that most of the calls that are coming in are inland-based. We continue to keep a good eye on the offshore presence to make sure that the mariners that do happen to be at sea, if they're in trouble, we're ready to respond there as well.
We're speaking with Jamie Frederick, a Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander, and of course we're talking about the operations following Sandy. Can you give us a sense of how the Coast Guard works in emergencies like these? I mean, especially when you're out in the ocean and there are such weather conditions, how do you ensure that people have constant communication, I mean, amongst yourselves and make sure that your people are kept safe?
Sure. Well, coordination, communication is always a challenge during responses like this. But I think what it's important to remember is that, you know, this is what we prepare for. This is what we train for. And quite frankly, this is what we do really well. And we work closely with the entire federal family, our state, local family of responders to make sure that we're all working hand in hand to get out there and give the response to the American public when they need it.
Now, the Coast Guard has acquired some new capabilities, some new ships in recent years. I think even some new helicopters. How's all that stuff working out?
Well, I think you point immediately to the search and rescue case off the coast of North Carolina where we had HC-144, which is one of our new offshore aircraft, maritime patrol aircraft out there searching last night. Now, unfortunately, we were unable to find that one missing mariner, but that aircraft was able to get out there and give us the support we needed far offshore. And I think that entire search and rescue case points out, I mean, the need for an offshore presence in search and rescue and safety and security for this nation. I mean, for instance, we're sending a high-endurance cutter, which is one of our older cutters, the Cutter Gallatin, out of South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. Gallatin is a class of cutter that's being replaced by our national security cutter. Gallatin's over 40 years old. She's heading out to respond to the search and rescue case. And that the need for command and control offshore, the need to be able to put a presence 90 miles offshore of this country is certainly important.
Now, the fact that you're using a boat that seems quite old, is that hurting your operations in any way?
Well, no, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a hurting the operations today. Gallatin is still able to respond, still able to get out there and do what we need her to do. I mean, there's certainly no doubt that a new fleet is beneficial and offers more capability, but it's still important to note that any offshore presence is important for the country. And, you know, being able to put an aircraft like AHC-144 out off the coast to be able to search through the night. I mean, that's just irreplaceable in terms of doing search and rescue in heavy sea conditions with low visibility at night.
Now, sometimes the Navy will back its ships out of port and put them offshore when there's a storm like this so they don't bang into the keys and so forth. Does the Coast Guard assist in any way or keep people away when the Navy sort of is floating around in Coast Guard areas?
Sure, we do provide assistance to the Navy at times, and you know we also need to take precautions for our fleet, and that means that we move some of our cutters, we move them away from the storm, we move some to safe ports and refuges where we know that they'll be safe so that they can respond. Our number one priority during the storm is making sure that our assets are safe so they can respond after the storm.
And with that in mind, tell us how Coast Guard employees and your staff were affected. I mean, we know that recruits in New Jersey had to evacuate the base and apparently kept training yesterday despite what was going on in New Jersey.
They did do some evacuation of the recruit companies from our training center in Cape May. You know, our operational units are ready for this. It's what we prepare to do. They're there and ready. I mean, obviously, taking care of our families is always a number one priority for us. But, you know, we prepare as such that when something like this happens, you have a plan in place for your own family so that you can get out and respond to the public when they need your help most.
All right, so what happens afterwards? Does everybody get a couple days of R&R when this kind of thing passes and the seas calm down again?
Well, hey, Tom, I think that might be wishful thinking. You know, there's three stages to a storm like this. Obviously, preparation stage, which we're past at this point. I would say in you know the Northeast, we're certainly in the response stage, and that's when we're out picking people up that are in trouble. And then, you know, as we start to look at the Mid-Atlantic and going into later today and tomorrow in the Northeast, we're in the recovery phase, and that sometimes is the longest phase. And one of the number one priorities for us after the storm is making sure we get out there, we look at the ports, we do good port assessments, and we start reopening the ports as we can, because opening up the maritime transportation system and getting those ports reopened is a high, high priority for us in the nation.
Are you hopeful that you'll be able to do something like that tomorrow?
Well, we're going to start doing assessment flights today. In fact, we have some assessment flights in the Mid-Atlantic. We're going to probably be doing some assessment flights later today in New England, in New York, and we'll start looking at you know the ports need to be safe before we can reopen them, and that involves looking at where the aids to navigation are, if there's any large hazards or obstructions in the ports, and then getting out and ensuring the ports are safe to reopen.